be with you.
And also with you.
We are blessed here at Pilgrim with a regular accompanist who has not missed a Sunday or a midweek service or anything since last, December. She's not had a day off from playing for us. And today is her birthday, and she and her husband went to Branson, Missouri, and I'm glad that they took some time to go away.
She just didn't want to be sung to.
She didn't want to be sung to. Yes, we know that that's a thing for some people. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. In fact, I'm not looking by looking somewhere else. We use the substitute organist service as a backup when our accompanist is gone. And because we have been so blessed with her regularly being here, we have maybe grown a little bit out of the habit of using it. And that goes not just for you all in being used to it, but also for me all in ordering it. So this morning when Ben and I were playing through it, I discovered that I apparently made a mistake in the order. So I'm going to tell you a couple things about how the service will be different musically this morning. First of all, I want to thank Joy for operating it. If you had to sit back there, and even though you think, well, it's just pushing a button, well, it's pushing a button at the exact right time, which is not as easy as you think it is until you've done it. So thank you to Joy for doing that. The introit and the graduate, where we alternate chant, you will hear the tone once at the beginning. Don't miss it. It will go by and you'll be like, what was that again? And it'll be too late. It will not replay. She will not be playing the tone for your chant. You will need to chant a cappella, as it's called, like a little chapel choir. The Alleluia, this is where it's really tricky. Like I said, I heard the wrong one, apparently. So what we have is the Alleluia that is in the hymn. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then Alleluia repeats. So instead of you all singing the triple Alleluia, me singing the appointed verse, we will use the what's called the appropriate verse that's in the hymn. If you're following along in a large print, I'm sorry that it's not right. But it's in the large print, you don't have a choice. You'll just have to know it, look it up in the hymnal, sing the Alleluias but not the verse, whatever, if you want to do there. At the end of the day, will be normal, except that the amen that we will sing at the end of the hymn of the day is not on the music. They don't put one on there, and so we will sing an a cappella amen. The substitute organist service holds that final note for a long time, so it'll be, and then when they're finally done, we will sing just the simple unison, say the note, amen, and get the amen in there. For the seasonal offertory, there will be no introduction whatsoever. When she starts it, you should be singing. And just sing along. And there you go. We've been singing that verse now for a few weeks, and so you should know it. You really shouldn't need that introduction for it, but most of you anyway. And then the last thing I wanted to note on the closing hymn, before the ending of the day, so just past the end of the service, thank you for talking, Debbie. I always appreciate the sympathy laugh I get from Debbie. Somebody appreciates my bad humor. On the closing hymn, the music does not have a downbeat. You do not see any indication that there's going to be a note before you start to sing. The organ plays a downbeat. So you'll hear boom, and then the chant will start. So just be ready for that and looking for that. That helps us, actually, but it doesn't help when it conflicts with the music that you have. That can make that more confusing. Okay. Have I confused everybody enough and scared you off? We will be fine. We will get through it just fine. It's not Joy's fault, it's fine. Just so long as everybody knows that.
Nobody has a plan at home.
Nobody has to be at home.
Yes.
Mistakes were made, as Congress likes to say. Without pointing the finger at anybody. For our topic catechesis this morning, we continue with the Ten Commandments. We are on the third commandment, page 321. What is the third commandment?
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and His word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it.
What day is the Sabbath day?
Saturday,
yes, the seventh day. And all of this idea of remembering the Sabbath day in Old Testament times centered on Saturday. From sundown on Friday when Saturday started to sundown on Saturday when Saturday ended on the Jewish reckoning of the day. So the New Testament church decided to shift the holy day from Saturday to Sunday, the Lord's Day, the day that the Lord was resurrected, chiefly. Other reasons for it also being on Sunday, the day of Pentecost, the first day of creation, or the eighth day, the day of recreation, depending on how you want to count that. All sorts of reasons for it being Sunday. But when we talk about remembering the Sabbath day, you can see that Luther's explanation there talks about not despising, but the opposite of that, loving God's word and holding it sacred and gladly hearing and learning His word. So you come here, you have set apart Sunday morning as a special time to come and hear God's word and let that word work in you to make you holy, to consecrate you, or to sanctify you by the right use of God's word. And the implication of those who do not hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it is that they do, in fact, despise it, right? If you're not using God's word and sacraments, then the only conclusion that can be made is that you despise them and would be breaking the third commandment. Well, if you don't care what God thinks, then you probably don't care that you're breaking the third commandment. But for those who would like to think that they're keeping the commandments, to properly keep the third commandment, you need to set apart this time to let God work in you by His word and His sacraments so that you can be made holy through faith in Jesus Christ and have all those sins forgiven of our failures to keep not only the third commandment, but all of them. Other comments, questions on the third commandment? Okay. The preparation for setting four is on page 203. I invite you to turn there and please stand with me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of His altar, let us first consider our unworthiness, and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage. Remember this, O Lord, how the enemy scoffs, and a foolish people reviles your name. Do not deliver the soul of your dove to the wild beasts.
Do not forget the life of your poor forever.
Let not the downtrodden turn back in shame.
Let the poor and needy praise your name.
Have regard for the covenant.
Arise, O God, defend your cause.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old,
which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To God on high be glory, and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven, proclaimed at Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing.
Almighty and everlasting God, you have commanded us to pray and had promised to hear us. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may direct and govern our hearts in all things, that we may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Today is the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. The appointed Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter. The same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
The epistle reading is from 2 Timothy, the 3rd and 4th chapters. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth, and will wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus is
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Remain standing if you're able for the singing of the hymn of the day, 734.
My fortress that withstands each shock. stay and lead the way, now and when life is ending. All honor, praise, and majesty to Father, Son, and Spirit. Join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hardly a day seems to go by without one political party or the others finding yet another example that calls into question either the past or present U.S. Department of Justice or the federal court system. From allegations of politically motivated prosecutions to allegations of politically motivated rulings, one wonders if Lady Justice is either peeking out from underneath the blindfold of her impartiality or has taken off that blindfold altogether. So perhaps we relate better to the unrighteous judge at the center of the parable in today's gospel reading, whose delay in giving justice to the widow of the parable helps us to realize this morning that God speedily gives justice to his elect. Today's gospel reading's parable of the judge and the widow is unique to St. Luke's divinely inspired gospel account. And that account places the parable after both last Sunday's gospel reading about Jesus' cleansing 10 lepers, one of whom was saved by faith, and Jesus' intervening teaching of his disciples about his, the Son of Man's, final coming and the division that that final coming will bring between unbelievers and believers. As we heard, Jesus told the parable about the need for disciples regularly to pray and essentially not to lose faith, ending his interpretation of the parable by asking whether, when he, the Son of Man, comes, he will find faith on the earth. Delays can be difficult to deal with. In the parable, the widow, whose circumstances and complaint we are not told, though we know that widows can be particularly vulnerable, the widow repeatedly kept coming to the judge, who for a time repeatedly kept refusing to give her justice. Why, we are not told. But she kept coming nevertheless, presumably until he gave her justice. In the Old Testament reading, Jacob strove with God overnight, and he prevailed and got the blessing that he sought in the morning. We also may pray to God for any number of things and wrestle
with when and how God answers our prayers. You may misapply the parable of today's gospel reading and wrongly think that if you, and maybe also all of your Facebook friends and ex-followers, just persist in prayer, then eventually you will beat God down by your continual coming and get whatever you want. But the parable is not about praying for anything. The widow in the parable told the judge to give her justice against her adversary. And Jesus, in the parable's interpretation, promises that God will give justice to his elect on the last day. Prophecy that we also heard this past Wednesday in our midweek Bible studies consideration of Joel chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. You can find it online if you want to hear it. Do we regularly pray for the justice of the last day? We may not pray particularly for the justice of the last day. Maybe because we know that someone else may be getting justice against us as their adversary. To be sure, we do not pray in general as we should. You may have lost heart or the faith because your previous prayers appear to have gone unanswered. Or you may not pray for the justice of the last day because you wrongly think that doing so would be like praying for the death and eternal damnation that your and my sins deserve. And yet, out of God's great love and mercy, the Holy Spirit calls and thereby enables us to repent, to turn in sorrow from our sin, and to trust God to forgive our sin. So we can pray for the justice of the last day, knowing that God has punished Jesus for our sins and given us Jesus' righteousness. Justice of the last day will bring damnation for our unrepentant and unbelieving adversaries. And more importantly, the justice of the last day will bring full and complete deliverance for us who repent and believe. The argument from the parable to its interpretation is an argument from a worse example to a better example. If the unrighteous judge eventually gave justice to the widow, then all the more our righteous God speedily will give justice to his elect. In some sense, both acted on the basis of their nature. Twice, the gospel reading essentially told us that the unrighteous judge neither feared God nor respected people. And only to stop the widow from bothering him and beating him down by her continual coming did he apparently eventually give her justice. But our God is righteous and does not need someone to bother him or beat him down by continually coming, but out of his own righteous nature will speedily give justice to his elect. God even used a miscarriage of human justice in order to put his son to death on the cross for us, in our place, for our benefit. And then God gave justice to Jesus, as it were, by raising him from the dead. We who are elect, whom God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world, and in love predestined us for adoption to himself, we turn in sorrow from our sin and trust God to forgive us for Jesus' sake. And so God does forgive us. Divinely necessary for our salvation is that we pray and not lose heart or the faith that the Son of Man will find on earth when he comes. And so we prayed in the collect of the day that the Holy Spirit would direct and govern our hearts, that we may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of God's name. God's triune name is put upon us with water in holy baptism, where we are adopted as God's children. We who privately confess to our pastors the sins that we know and feel in our heart are then forgiven of those sins in that same triune name with touch in holy absolution. And baptized and absolved, we are admitted to the Holy Supper, where we receive bread that is the body of Christ given for us and wine that is the blood of Christ shed for us, which thereby give us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. These sacraments, along with God's word read and preached, assure us that we are among the elect, and they enable us to persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of God's name, as we asked in the collect of the day. Although we know that God always preserves a faithful remnant, Jesus' question of his disciples in today's gospel reading, whether he will find faith on the earth, reminds us that these latter days are those of increasing unrepentance and unbelief. Similarly, St. Paul's words to Timothy in today's epistle reading warn us that more and more people will not endure sound teaching. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and that they will turn away from listening to the truth and instead wander off into myths. So even if it takes more than our earthly lifetime of struggling in prayer, we pray regularly for the justice of the last day. And we do not stop believing that God ultimately will give it, not because we have prayed for it, but because of who he is as our righteous God. Regardless of any real or imagined issues with either the past or the present U.S. Department of Justice or the federal court system, God speedily gives justice to his elect. On account of our sinful nature and all of our actual sin, we deserve death and eternal damnation. But through his word and sacraments, God forgives us by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, who died and rose for us. We have his peace and joy already now. Yet that same Jesus promises that he is coming soon, and we pray for him so to come, with the resurrection and glorification of the body that his coming will bring. In the words of today's introit, we pray, "Have regard for the covenant. Arise, O God, and defend your cause." Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. With thanksgiving to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that he speedily gives justice to his elect, for us and for all who believe, that we faithfully might receive God's forgiveness through his word and sacraments, do the good works of his commandments in keeping with our callings in life, and pray for the justice of the last day until he gives it. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church on earth, that in season and out of season, she might preach God's word. For the persecuted, they may be strengthened. For the Missouri Synod, Texas District, and this circuit, pastors and people together, that we might be united in right teaching and practice. For pastoral candidates to be called and pastoral vacancies to be filled. For Lutheran Heritage Foundation to give more books of the Lutheran faith to people around the world in their own languages. And for this congregation, that absent members might return, our Sunday school might prosper, and our offerings be more than sufficient for the work of God's kingdom in this place. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For us and all of the baptized, that we might always pray and not lose heart, and that we would be strengthened against all temptation and be forgiven when we succumb to any temptation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those whom God places in our lives who have strayed from the faith or never believed, that God might use us to invite them here, where they can be made wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather, and for all those affected by drought, wildfires and their smoke, flooding, earthquakes, and volcanoes, that they might be rescued, relieved, and restored, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace and unity in the world, especially in the Middle East and between Russia and Ukraine, and in this country, especially that we might have a functional federal government and civil relations with the states. For the safety of all non-combatants in war zones, especially innocent women and children. For all those who govern us on every level of government, that they might fear God and give justice. For all people to be good citizens, and for all those who serve in the U.S. Armed Forces, and in police, fire, and corrections departments, that they may be protected, upheld, and granted discernment. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for the safe return of those who have traveled, for Brady, Remo and Kathy, David and Elaine, Charles, and all who are traveling or will travel, whether for work or pleasure, by land, sea, or air, that their ways may be safe and their homecomings joyful, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, that they may be comforted. For victims of violent crime, that they might feel safe again. For those imprisoned and their families, that they might have hope and patience. For those shut in and otherwise homebound, that by his word and sacraments, God might be present with them where they are. For David, Lana, Tracy, Teresa, Margaret, Tina, Katie, David, Gwen, Bob, Jim, BJ, John, Ann, and all those in need of healing, that God might deliver them from their afflictions in his time and way, and for all those who serve in medical professions, that they would have all necessary wisdom and skill, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all families, that children might be acquainted with the sacred writings, for expectant mothers and their children, that they may be brought safely through delivery. For all God's people, especially those without spouses or children, to be content in their circumstances. For us to better defend God's gift of human life. And for all schooling, those who teach, those who learn, and those who support them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for God's blessings of physical and spiritual life to Elaine, Shannon, and Lindy, for them, that God might continue to grant them physical life according to his will, help them to remember and use their baptisms, and preserve them in their baptismal grace all the days of their life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, have mercy on us now, we pray.
Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away, and mercy on us, Jesus Christ, and grant us peace, O Lord, we pray.
This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you, body and soul, to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
drink the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you.
Thank you.
blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. In heart and peace. Amen. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Before the end.
word and sacrament, that others can stream live and so others can download later. We have a number of visitors with us. We're glad that all of them are here. Lana and Mike have their son and daughter-in-law, and
this is Parker McCoy.
Oh, Parker's a friend of Parker's. Okay. All right, I didn't know if you fit with everybody else or not. Glad you're here, Parker. I'm glad you guys are here as well.
He's a resident of Nolan.
Oh, okay, very good. Yeah, excellent. We're glad you're here. Glad to have Amelie and Nolan here, of course. Glad to have Joan back. Some of you remember Joan from Montana. She visited here during the winter months before. It's a good time of year to get out of Montana. And you live just across the border in British Columbia now. I know. It's nice to have you back and girls as well. And over on this side, let's see, Linda Traylor, who some of you know because she's one of our members, but maybe you don't see her very often. I see her every other week, usually at Linda, or Margaret Camilla's house. She has brought some of her family with her today. We're glad to have them here. There's Lily Mae and Daniel and Kristen and Ben and Isabella and Ethan, right? I think it's all right with Ben, good. And glad to have the Fagans here. And they tell me they did not walk here, but I haven't really seen their mom, so I'm thinking they did walk up from Henderson. Carl's telling me she's in the back, but I, you know. Glad to have all you guys here. Glad to have everybody else as official members. Announcements. Thank you again to Joy for running the substitute ordinance service. That was not as bad as you thought it was going to be. See, I lowered your expectations, and then it just seemed like it was fine. That was all part of the method of the matter. Today is Mary Martha meeting after church. Stay for lunch if you like, ladies. And we will discuss Esther, a very interesting Old Testament woman. That is today. It is not next Sunday, which we inadvertently left listed for next Sunday. So mistakes were made in the bulletin. We won't let any other meeting. So any other announcements?
Next Sunday is the council meeting.
Next Sunday is the council meeting, yes. And packets and stuff are available for that. Carl is not making any wild produce gestures, so I'm assuming the garden is having a break.
So let me put it this way. You let us down. Rain.
Oh, you wanted rain?
We wanted rain.
And I'm personally responsible for the rain.
Yeah, we kind of hope for a little stronger recession.
Yeah. And pray for seasonal weather, where do you want?
It rains on the church when you're up here. But, you know.
We did get, yeah, we had 5 minutes of rain yesterday. I think just enough to get everybody at the football stadium wet, and then it's over. So. Anything other announcements? No other announcements? I'll look forward to hearing.